introduce myself, I am Sarah James. I am a partner here at Simmons & Simmons, and I head up our global flexible resourcing solution, Adaptive, for the firm. I'm also proudly the sponsor partner, along with Jonathan Hammond, our head of Asia, of the Simmons Alumni Program, which we relaunched approximately a year ago. And today we are here interviewing Colin Passmore as a part of. Hi, Colin.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So I'm going to do a quick summary of your career.
Righty-ho.
So you joined Simmons & Simmons in 1986 as an associate.
Yep.
And joining the partnership in 1990.
Yep.
You served as a senior partner for 10 years until 2021. And then following this, you've become the firm's client development partner. But over the last 36 years, you've had practices in England, Hong Kong, and the Middle East, from where you developed a highly regarded and varied commercial litigation practice with a particular focus on finance litigation, extradition disputes, and large professional indemnity claims.
Correct.
But really, you've played a huge role in the success of our firm, and I'm thrilled to be here today. It feels quite an honour to be here speaking with you and spending time discussing your, what anyone would describe as an illustrious career. And really what I'm excited about is the lessons you've learnt along the way that the viewers can take. So thank you for joining us.
I hope I don't let you down on that.
You will not let me down. It's not possible. I'm going to start initially with going back to joining Simmons. And what was it in 1986 that drew you to join our firm? And then I suppose also remain with us for 36 years.
Yeah. Well, the reason may not be one that you expect. I started my career as an article clerk, as trainees were called in those days, with Coward Chance. And in one of my four seats, I was sent to Hong Kong. Now, if you can imagine someone from a working class background who had only ever flown once before, being sent Cathay Pacific business class, as we were in those days, to Hong Kong in September 1983 for my third seat. And I only ever heard of Hong Kong as somewhere attached to China. I think in those days, a lot of toys were made, Christmas presents were made in Hong Kong. And I was suddenly flown out there and I just adored the place. Mm-hmm. And as it happened, I met my my wife-to-be out there. She was also out there from the UK working for the local government. But there was a catch. I was only allowed to be there for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I was sent back to London kicking and screaming. But I couldn't get the place out of my system. And Coward Chance didn't have a vacancy for me. I never really got to the bottom of why. I have a suspicion. But then there was a vacancy at Simmons. And the vacancy at Simmons was, come and join us in London. Come and be a litigator. We'll have a look at you. See if you're any good. And if you are, we'll send you out there perhaps in 6 months' time. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, that's all right. I joined in February 1986, and 3 weeks later, my then wife and I were sent to Hong Kong. And there had been two enormous cases coming in, both of them not in my field, construction cases, and we just needed bodies and minds to help get these cases mm-hmm. ready for trial. And I was absolutely delighted. I got slightly fed up with the construction cases, and I was very pleased when they came to an end. But thereafter, I got into my more normal groove of work, and things began to take off.
Talk to me about some of the highlights of your career. What are the things that stand out for you as being really quite significant that you look back on? I think one of the things, in Simmons as well, as we talk about doing things that you never dreamed possible.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that come from working at this firm.
Okay, this is supposed to be a short interview, so here's a snapshot. Look, personal things like becoming a partner in 1990. I tell people now I was 5.5 years qualified. Wow. Becoming senior partner. Mm-hmm. So unlike General de Gaulle, who always knew from about the age of 12 he was going to become the president of France.
Yes.
It never occurred to me I would become the senior partner of Simmons until about 2009-10 when mm-hmm. I began to think about it. But that was an amazing moment. Sadly, by then, both my parents had died, my wife had died, so there weren't that many family members around to see it. So that was an amazing highlight. Mm-hmm. Working with some extraordinary people, clients, barristers. I've always been thrilled to have a few opportunities to work with a chap called Jonathan Sumption. Mm-hmm. And if I think of particular things, one thing that really, really stands out in, I think it was about 2001, we can check the dates later, we were doing a lot of work for the Qatari royal family. I won't go into the details. But I remember a meeting in Doha. We were in the Emir's palace. He's the father of the present Emir, who is involved in the Palestinian hostage negotiations. Yes. We got 20 minutes with him because he wanted to hear what we were up to. And his senior courtier, really tough man, had said to us, you have 19 minutes. And we said, but we thought we've got 20. And he said, yes, the last minute will be used as you leave. And he said, when I come in, he said, I don't care what you're doing, whether you finish, you leave. And we had this prearranged signal. It was either tapping his nose or scratching his ear. Anyway, we got to 18 minutes. And we were looking for the signal to leave. And the emir was amazingly courteous. And he had this little television next to him that was on constantly. And at 18 and a half minutes, there was a film of the statue of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad literally being pulled down. So the courtier comes over and he's doing his signal, whatever it was. So we get up to go and the emir says, where are you going? Sit down. This is history. This is history. And the courtier was going mad. He was saying, get up, get up, get up. And every time we tried to get up, the emir said, sit down, sit down. And we stayed for 30 minutes watching this statue being pulled down. And it was
incredible.
Watching history being made in the Middle East with a very senior figure. Never forgotten it. Amazing.
Think about your sort of leadership style and your personal brand. How would you classify it? Because I've always known you since I joined the firm 7.5 years ago. I knew you as the senior partner in a very senior leadership role. And one of the roles as a senior partner is really to guide the people, the employees, the partnership, as well as our clients through periods of change. And we all have to admit law firms have been through a substantial period of change over the course of your, what would you describe as your, I suppose, leadership style?
I would like to think, self-analysis here, I would like to think that I'm open. I'm quite transparent. I'm quite direct. I don't like politicking. I don't like going behind people's backs. So if I have an issue, I will always raise it. I like to talk to people. In a firm of 1,900 people or so that we are, you can't speak to everyone all the time at any great length. But I would always try to speak to everybody. I like giving guidance. I like to try to help partners, associates, trainees, people in all of our amazing support services, our business services. So, but I also like, one of the things I think I became quite good at was, and again, it's this people theme, is dealing with clients. And listening to them, seeing them, being with them. So I get quite frustrated when people say, oh, I've done some business development. I sent an email. That's not business development. It's being with people and seeing people and hearing what's on their minds, trying to draw them out, trying to get them to confide in you. And indeed, I'm still doing a bit of this. I've since I became a consultant, I've been doing a lot of coaching and mentoring. But I was talking to a lot of associates who want to be partners and just giving them guidance. So I'd like to think that I'm open, direct. I like to be with people. And I will address problems. And, you know, those problems don't always resolve happily, but problems have to be resolved and addressed.
And I think when people think of you, they really do think of that trusted advisor.
Yeah.
Were there ever moments in your career when you thought, I've had enough, this is just a little too much for me? How did you go through those, I suppose, down cycles? We're never feeling 100% happy and engaged in our career. I'm interested to know how you took yourself on that journey to keep yourself motivated. What is a very tough career a lot of the time?
I can give you two examples, and one we'll talk about, I can talk about why I decided to retire when I did, but I remember vividly in about 1993, 94, we the firm, a very large number of us, had finished working on this huge liquidation that came out of Abu Dhabi. It was called BCCI. I know it as the Bank of Crooks and Cocaine, but it was called something else. It'll come to me in a moment. And when we came back from that, and a lot of us have been commuting over there, spending weeks at a time there, and doing nothing but working 10, 12 hours a day for six days a week. I remember when we came back from London, we hit a recession. And in contrast to all the previous years of my career, work stopped flowing through the door. And I always say that's when marketing was invented, because we suddenly had to go out and find work. And I had no contacts, having come back from Hong Kong, having been in the Middle East. I came back to London, having spent 2 weeks here before going to Hong Kong in 86. And I knew nobody. And that was really, really tough. And that is a great example of where I just had to persevere, try to find ways to meet people. I was very lucky. One of the two great mentors I had at Simmons, Philip Vaughan, gifted me looking after the Barclays relationship. That was incredibly generous of him, and it didn't work out too badly. So that was a period where for about 6 months, I would wake up in the middle of the night, I haven't got any work, what on earth am I gonna do? And there just wasn't enough to go around for me to have other people's work at that point, that time. So that was very, very difficult. But it was a case in those days of just finding ways to go to conferences, to go to evening events, just to try to meet people.
Yeah.
Do that horrible thing where you don't know a soul, and you've got to walk in and say, hello, my name's Colin. And
you pretend that you feel super confident.
Yeah, gosh, that's so difficult. And as I say, Philip really, really helped me out of the hole there. I think the second time, when I decided to retire earlier this year, I think there was a whole series of factors at work. One of them was very sad, which was a friend of mine had literally dropped dead earlier in the year. No previous medical problems, very happy lifestyle, great family. And it really brought home to me, hang on a minute. Are you going to carry on working and be carried out from your desk? So that was the first thing. The second thing was a realization that 30, 40 years, I was getting tired. Realizing that there's another generation that's come through with their own ideas, their own aims and ambitions. And I thought, it's time for me to step away and actually go and do some other things and enjoy a bit of life.
And what are your plans for retirement? I know some of your plans, but what are your plans for retirement?
Right. Well,
such a thing as retirement for Colin Passmore?
Well, I know exactly why you put that question. I've always loved traveling, particularly on business. I've just got my British Airways lifetime gold card. So I've had some great holidays this year. I've already been to Italy, which is one of the great loves of my life. I have no idea why I love Italy so much. I just do. I spent half a month in France for the Rugby World Cup. And I then went to Hong Kong for a week, not on business, but for a holiday, really, to say, to have another probably final look at the place where my career kicked off. I am very keen to keep the brain ticking over. So I've got a little consultancy here, but my guess is that will wind down in the new year, and quite rightly so. And I've taken on judging. I've become a deputy district judge, which is incredibly challenging, terrifying.
Yes.
Because I am so out of my comfort zone. But I'll get there. I'll be fine. And I'm also enjoying being the chair of the City of London Law Society, basically looking after the interests and promoting the interests of all the city law firms. So I deal with a lot of our regulators, politicians, law officers, and senior managing partners all over the city. So, but I don't have the pressure of clients.
Absolutely.
That's the thing I'm enjoying.
You're choosing what you want to do. Yeah. But I think this is the first time in anyone's lifetime that we have four generations working together, which is quite incredible. Yeah. And I'm, you know, diversity, I know it's a key focus for you, and especially a senior partner in the role that you played in Simmons's increase in diversity. But the cross-generational, it's really great to see that you're still staying attached to the law, because I think there are a lot of knowledge that you still can impart with a lot of us as we move through our careers as well.
Well, and the reason for that is I like being around lawyers. Yeah. Lawyers are fun for the most part, and they're challenging, interesting. Just like being around them, yeah.
I'm keen to talk a little bit about sponsorship.
Yep.
Because, you know, I'm somebody who has greatly benefited from incredible mentors here at Simmons, incredible sponsors. And I know that that was a key role of yours throughout the dispute resolution practice, but as senior partner. Talk to me about your thoughts on sponsors and how individuals can seek sponsorship.
I, as someone who benefited from the sponsorship of two partners, both of whom have sadly passed away. One was Stephen Schofield, who built in the 80s, 90s, built up our Hong Kong office. And then Philip Vaughan, who sadly also died a couple of years ago. I never sought sponsorship, but it was only many years later I became aware that they had been sponsoring me quietly in the background by just giving me responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was different in those days, of course it was. But I think what I've seen over the last 15 years is so much talent, it can be wasted and fall by the wayside if we don't look after our people properly. And it's a catastrophic waste of both the humans concerned, plus all the effort and indeed investment we've put into these people. Mm. So I think it is incumbent on every partner to find someone they can sponsor and bring on and nurture. We need to do that because it's the only way to grow the firm. It's the only way to ensure its future. I always see a partnership a little bit like a trust. It's our job to pass it on to the next generation in at least as good a condition as we took it over. And we can only do that if we've got the right people. So we should be ready to sponsor. I would like to think, and I know a lot of people don't find this easy, but I would like to think that whether you're a trainee, whether you're an associate, whether you're a managing associate, if you feel that you need guidance, there must be someone in the firm you can go and talk to.
Absolutely.
And I know things have changed. So in our day, the thought of me going to see the then senior partner and saying, can you give me some guidance? Mm. He'd have said, what on earth are you talking about? Mm. Get on with life. Mm-hmm. But I think people should just be ready to say, can you give me some help?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are still a little bit perhaps reluctant to open up to a partner. Perhaps, I wouldn't say people are scared of us like we were of the senior partners in the 80s. We really were scared of them. But I think people should just be ready to understand the vast majority of partners are going to respond well.
Yeah.
And they can help. Every single partner can help.
And people like to help.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
How would you sum up Simmons? You know, I think we're a very special firm. You've obviously had 36 years. You've seen such change over that period. But really, what would you sum up that it is our alumni that we're talking to at the moment? What makes us so special? What's the secret sauce?
We're very good lawyers. We have, I think, become much better at punching our weight. There was a period, many people listening to this, if they stayed on this long, will remember. there was a time when we used to get such a kicking from the press. We are way over that, thank goodness. And we just have... So we're a very good firm. We punch our weight. We have an amazing set of clients. Mm. But there's something about our culture here which I find very difficult to define. And let me try to use this example to explain it. To the extent any of us bother to read the legal gutter press, the headlines are X, star X leaves firm Y to go to firm Z. Mm-hmm. What they never talk about is the 85, 90% of partners who stay here, the glue of the firm.
Yes.
They're not here because no one is trying to recruit them or they're not recruitable. Mm-hmm. They're here because they contribute to, and they are part of our amazing culture. And it is a very open culture. It's become a lot, lot better. What was that initiative Jeremy and I did, launched about 5 years ago, High Performance Culture?
Yes.
Because we had gone through a phase of, oh dear, don't really like this, but I better not say anything. People are much, much better at talking about things, ironing problems out and addressing problems. So, but also the thing I used to really say, I loved coming into the office. I know people don't come into the office quite as much. I won't share my views on that. I used to like being around my colleagues.
Yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying, believe it or not, being interviewed by, you know, Sarah Parkinson. James.
Clever.
Because, I don't know, just, and that's one of the reasons I used to love traveling. You know, I was in Hong Kong last week. I met 2 weeks ago. I caught up briefly with John. I gave a presentation. All of our, a lot of our colleagues were there. All lovely people. All good at their job. It's, I wish we could bottle up what our culture is here and go and sell it, because it is amazing.
Absolutely. Well,
that wasn't a great answer, but you know what that is.
No, brilliant. Well, thank you for your time.
Well, pleasure.
It's been, I love that we're getting this on film,
right?
Because I think it's so wonderful to take these things away and capture them. There's a lot of lessons that are learnt in there. And I think a lot of this summarizes, you've had such an incredible impact on the firm that we are today. So for me, thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.